Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome. Great to have you with us today on this Thursday from beautiful Evanston, Illinois, the home of Benison's Bakery, the home of Northwestern, the home of Pete Miller's, the home of Grosse Pointe Lighthouse, the home of the shores of Lake Michigan. It's great to have you with us. Penn State Northwestern tonight at 7, airtime 6:30. Shikellamie Abington Heights tomorrow night in the PIAA state playoffs. Kevin is leaving tonight.
Dan Patrick tonight in
not quite tonight. I mean, I'm going to be leaving early, but not tonight.
Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. You can go online to REWfinancial.com. Sunbury Motors Studios Mobile today in Evanston, Illinois. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Woods 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Hilshers General Store Hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by our good friends at Hilshers General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on Routes 11 and 15. Go to www.hilshersstore.com.
How's the weather?
Tonight, Penn State Northwestern. Sunny and nice.
Well, see, because we're looking forward to that, because what you have today, we'll probably have in the next day or two.
Well, so I'll be out in Chicago twice. I'll be out here next week, too. Instead of being up here, we'll be down at the United Center in Chicago a week from today for the Big Ten tournament. The question is, who will Penn State face? Penn State could have back-to-back games with Wisconsin, depending on how it works out. It's been amazing. Villanova beat Georgetown last night. Minnesota goes to Nebraska. They lose. Georgia Tech beats Miami. Nobody wants to be a number one seed.
That's what I was just going to say. Nobody wants the number one seed right now.
But it goes back to what I've talked about many times, Kevin. In college basketball, men's basketball, there are 150 good teams. Not great, good teams, where 150 can beat one on any given night. That's been for a long time. The depth of the sport has grown. The parity in the sport has grown.
Well, that's what I was just going to ask. Is parity a good word for description of it?
Sure, it's parity. Also, the fact that when you get great players because of the NBA rule about 1 year and 19 years of age, opposed to maybe 2 years and 20 years of age, which is what I think it should be. I think the maturity of the NBA would grow exponentially if they would let that second year in. But because of that rule, you don't have players take the Kentucky freshmen. Well, my goodness, wouldn't they be the favorites to win everything this year as sophomores? But they're not there. They've all moved on. And that makes a big difference, and we see that in college basketball. I mean, I can't imagine Trey Burke being with Michigan next year. I really can't imagine Cody Zeller being with Indiana next year. It'll change the face of the league when Penn State goes back into action next year in the Big Ten. So that's something that's, you know, the situation of Bucknell is an old-fashioned situation. Just grow together, get all together, and then become cohesive together. Like Mike Muscala and Joe Willman and Cameron Ayers and Bryson Johnson. They have grown together. None of them are going early to the NBA. None of them are going to be a one-and-done player. They grow older together. They get more experienced. And you have veteran teams. There are very few veteran teams in college basketball now among the, quote, blue bloods. Very few. So, because of that, you have more parity now. It makes a big difference. Dan Patrick tried to jump in moments ago and preempt what we're doing here, but we're not going to allow him to do that until we say so. So it's time now for Above the Noise. Here's Dan Patrick.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on Pre-Auction Blowout and make your deal today, because these cars could be at an auction tomorrow, like a 2012 Hyundai Elantra 4-door sedan GLS just $15,943, a 2010 Ford Transit Connect Wagon 4-door XLT, lowest price guaranteed $16,496, 2003 Ford Mustang Premium Mach 1 just $69,96, 2011 Ford F-150 regular cab, $17,955, and a 2011 Jeep Wrangler Unlimited, four-wheel drive, just 5,100 miles, only $39.99. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915. 888-536-8017.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
Greetings, Mark Lawrence from WKOK's On the Mark program. Tomorrow morning, Ben Reichley and I will be back in Studio A to talk about all the day's issues and the latest news. It's On the Mark, 8:30 to 10 a.m. tomorrow on WKOK and WKOK.com.
On the road again.
Yeah, it's amazing. Kosa Madawe-Bunam, Donovan Jack, and I were talking today about country music, and it didn't come off well. So
I want to be the fly on the wall for that conversation.
They asked me if I like Jay-Z. I said, sure. I said, like, more than life itself, you know? And they were explaining to me how important it was to have versatility when you have musical taste. The one thing none of them could stand happened to be country. Country did not come out well.
Did they have to show you a photo of Jay-Z so you knew who they were talking about?
No, Jay-Z's with Beyonce. I know what's going on. You know, I am hip and in tune. You see, that's the kind of guy I am. Very much in tune with today's pop culture. In fact, I was tweeting it earlier today.
Right, you were.
Yeah, sure I was. But we were talking about music on the bus today, and we were talking about Jay-Z. So I know, and Jay-Z has his own fashion line. Jay-Z, of course, is with Beyonce. Jay-Z is part owner of the Brooklyn Nets. So I am in tune, my man.
I am impressed.
Out, you know, I mean, I am not just a simple, know-nothing, statistic-oriented sportscaster. I mean, when it comes to pop culture, I put the pop in culture.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of people right now would like to pop me. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. Bucknell won last night. They ended a Navy season 1-2 to winning 62 to 42 last night, something like that, 64-46, some number.
Now you have to make me look it up because I'm not sure now either.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah. I'll get it here in a second. Hold on, my app's taking a while to load.
Oh, it is, huh?
Yeah, it's a little slow today. Then again, so am I. It would have been 58-42.
But again, what did it come down to? Again, defense by Bucknell made a huge difference in the game as to how they played. I mean, it just makes a big difference. And that's what they built. And see, veteran teams get built like that. They get built where eventually you find a style that fits a veteran team, and that's what they are. They're a veteran team. And And that's, they get it done in that regard. They're a veteran team, and they play like a veteran team. So they understand defensive rotations. Muscala knows where Bowman's going to be. Ayers knows where Muscala's going to be. And that's, you know, and that's the kind of team that they have, what Dave Paulson has. Now, I believe all top four seeds won in the Patriot last night.
Yeah, you've got...
So that would mean that our Army would play Bucknell.
Right.
And Lafayette would play Lehigh in the semis on Saturday.
Right. 2 o'clock start for Lafayette hosting Lehigh. If you can call that a hosting Lehigh, because what do they have? They get throw a stone and hit both universities. But Bucknell hosts Army at 4:30. Both of those games on Eagle 107 and on CBS Sports.
Right. So that's 40 minutes down and 80 minutes to go to get to the NCAA tournament. That's where they stand right now. 40 minutes down and 80 to get to the NCAA tournament. So one-bid league. If Bucknell wins, they most likely would be a 13 against a 4. But they've got to get there, and they know they can't get there. And Army played them really, really tough when they played at West Point. Army played them very tough when they played at West Point. So that's what they're going to need to overcome. I mean, they'll have to play better against Army this time than they did the last time to advance.
And Bucknell just beat a team that won't be in the Patriot League for basketball much longer because they're rumored to be joining what is going to be the Catholic 7/Big East. Let me ask you this. What do you think about the...
What, Navy?
That, Navy? In 15, that's what I read.
No way. No. Uh-uh. I can tell you right now in no uncertain terms.
Navy will join the league in 2015.
No, they'll join the America 12 in 2015. They're not joining the Big East.
Oh, okay. So, all right. I was going to say because they're joining something in 2015. That's the one we're
joining.
Is that the remnants of the Big East then that they're joining?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. All right. Yes. Thank you for clearing that up.
Which will probably be called the America 12. All right.
Okay. My apologies for misleading you.
Right. No, it's you misleading the audience. You're not misleading
that's
me.
That's what I was talking to you. I'm not apologizing to you.
Yeah, so I've got to be on my toes of this show all the time.
Well, that's one of us. But what about the Catholic 7 switching over and becoming the Big East and absorbing that
brilliant
name?
$100 million. Brilliant.
So they're kicking
worth
out
worth every dime to keep the name. Worth every dime. Marketing, you're all set. You're in.
I mean, they're kicking out the leader of the Big East and creating a new, giving them a new, getting a new person for the position, and keeping the name. That sounds like a little bit like a mutiny.
But they get it is a mutiny. It's $100 million they paid for the name, though, and it's worth every dime. It's worth every dime to them to do that. It's a brilliant marketing move by them. And the $100 million, in the end, marketing-wise, in terms of going to TV networks and getting what you need, it's worth every cent. Every cent.
Yeah, they're getting, $3 million from Fox?
Something like that.
Yeah, I think that's what the deal was.
Well, no. Yeah, Fox is going to be the one carrying their games. So, now, the America 12 is, in the end, but there are certainly, see, the Catholic schools were getting upset about what was going on with the Big East. You know, that they kept inviting all this football. The tipping point was with East Carolina and Tulane. They went, what? When that happened, they looked at each other and said, we are not doing this anymore. And I can't blame them. You know, because that's not what the foundation of the Big East was going to be. It's just not what the foundation of the Big East was going to be. Simple as that. And so they've done that. Now they're going to add in Butler and probably Creighton.
Wasn't Xavier on that list, too?
They're on the list. I don't know if they're going to make it or not. We'll see it. We'll see. You would think that they would. Some have talked about Dayton as a possibility, too. But you want to be—you don't want to get I believe Fox wants them to get to 12. Because you're talking inventory here. In the end, this is about inventory. And the games that they can carry, that they have control over. That's why when you look at the Big Ten Network, it's about inventory. When they're talking about increasing conference games for football and basketball, it's about more inventory for the Big Ten Network.
Well, they're looking to use this as a way to kind of, you know, get going that new Fox Sports One, which will formerly be known as Speed very soon, because that's what it is now.
Right. Right, and that's what they're trying to do, just like Versus is now NBC Sports Network.
Right.
Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or go online to REWfinancial.com. More on News Radio 1070 WKOK, but first the news.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome back. Kevin put Navy into the Big Ten. That was an interesting move.
I did not say the Big Ten. All right, I did get a little confused that they are not going into the new Big East. They're going into the one that hasn't been named yet for the remnants of the Big East. You can see where the confusion came from, though. I mean, it is a little bit confusing. Okay, it is a little bit confusing for me, not for you.
No.
I mean, you got Central Florida, Cincinnati, Connecticut, East Carolina, Houston, Memphis, South Florida, SMU. Who am I missing? Temple, Tulane. And then Navy joined 2015. And you said there's a name already picked? I haven't even heard that.
They have gone through licensing, and America 12 is the one they're going through licensing on DOMS and things like that. That's the name they're floating right now, to be called the America 12.
So the current Catholic 7 will keep the Big East name. They're not going to have the same commissioner. They're going to hire a new commissioner.
They paid $100 million to keep the name, which is $100 million very well spent, by the way.
Now, who comes up with that $100 million? Was it each one of the schools that kicked in, or how did that work?
Oh, yeah. All the schools did that. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, what happens to all this money that the Big East has now from all these teams exiting the Big East? What happens to that money now?
Oh, they'll blow it. So as simple as that.
What are they going to have extra parties or something before July 1st?
They've been mismanaged for a long time. They'll be able to mismanage this. Take my word.
That's a lot of money to get rid of, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, I suppose they could distribute it among schools. I don't know. You'll have to ask them as to what they're going to do with all the money. I have no idea. Yeah.
America 12. That's an interesting name.
Well, that's what they're trying to register on .coms right now. Is they're going with a combination of America12Conference.com, America12.com. I mean, that's what they keep floating from their office. Now, this is not something they've announced, but you know, with research, you can find out what they're trying to register. Well, that's what they're trying to register right now. They're trying to register America 12. You know? But for the Big East schools, they call themselves the Basketball 7. The rest of the world calls them the Catholic 7. They're going to add in Butler. They're going to add in probably Creighton. I mean, everybody needs a trip to Omaha. And then they may add in Xavier. Dayton's a possibility. And then we'll go from there. There'll be a basketball-only conference. I mean, well, there'll be a conference for other sports as well. They just want to have football. And they'll do fine. They'll have that contract with Fox. That will help them out. They will have NCAA tournament bids, and, of course, the residual effects of having NCAA tournament money based on units is going to help them. So there'll be a lot of things that will work very well for them, and there'll be a very popular conference that people will enjoy watching basketball. I mean, you know, Georgetown-Villanova, another classic Georgetown-Villanova game last night. The Villanova won. So that's what they're going to do. And I think for them, I think they've handled everything well to this point. They broke away at just the right time. They saw a sinking ship. They put the Titanic in the rearview mirror. They kept the name that is a marketing marketing plus for them. They also keep Madison Square Garden. I mean, what more are they supposed to do? What they've done is they've jettisoned the football schools. That's what they did. They look at the football schools, which they have felt ruined the conference. Now, what ruined the conference was not the football schools per se, but the fact that they formed a conference that was a mishmash. That some played football, some played basketball. You know, they let Temple play football first, but wouldn't let them play basketball. They let Virginia Tech only play football for a while. Then they finally let Virginia Tech in to play basketball. Then they bolted. They kicked Temple out, then got mad that Boston College, Virginia Tech, and Miami would leave. I mean, I know the reasons that they kicked Temple out, but still, they said, this is wrong. BC, Virginia Tech, and Miami can't do that. Mike, yes, they can. It's okay for you to kick Temple out, but it's not okay for somebody to leave you? I mean, this has been the history of the Big East. It has been a disorganized mess. I mean, you don't see anybody bolting the Big Ten to go someplace. You don't see anybody bolting the Pac-12 to go someplace. You don't see anybody bolting the Southeastern Conference to go someplace. What does that tell you? I mean, what does that tell you about those three conferences?
They're making
nobody
money.
Bolts. Yeah, but nobody bolts those conferences to go anywhere. People are trying to get into those conferences. And you're right, part because they make money. And there's a prestige attached to them. And they're not disorganized messes. I mean, you know, people can complain about the Big Ten all they want from the outside looking in, but the Big Ten is, for the most part, an organized machine that understands its markets, understands its schools, is not going to be perfect for every school on a given day, but they work for all the members. It is, you know, we talk about forms of government. Well, sports is best run when it's socialism. And the National Football League was the first one to take it in that direction. When Pete Rozelle went to Wellington Mara and said, hey, look, the national TV money, we need to split that up evenly. And Wellington Mara thought about it and said, yes, that's best for the league. That way Green Bay gets the same cut as New York. Well, that's how the Big Ten is run. The Big Ten, the Pac-12, and the SEC are all run the same way, where everybody gets equal cuts and equal shares. The Big 12 is not run that way, and that's one of the reasons why you've seen Colorado and Nebraska leave and why they're down to 10 schools. Because they are not run that way. Texas gets the vast majority of the money in the conference. Texas gets to keep its money from the Longhorn Network, but they also get the highest percentage of money from their TV contracts. I mean, that was part of the deal that got Texas into the Big 12 after leaving the Southwest Conference. They get more than other schools. Okay, now the Big East at one point had what was called the Miami Rule. That if you won the Big East football championship, you get a $4 million bonus. Well, I mean, if you're in a conference where you treat everybody equally and you have everybody playing as many sports as possible against one another, which the Big East doesn't, that you don't need a Miami rule. You don't need to hand out a bonus check. That was all done to appease Miami to keep them in the conference. Hey, look, we'll give you an extra $4 million for winning the conference. Really? Bonus money for winning? Well, there's no bonus money for winning in the Big Ten. You get to go to the Rose Bowl by winning the Big Ten football championship, and guess what? You get 1/13th of the money like everybody else does. And I say 1/13th because the conference office gets a cut too. And socialism works in sports because it gives everybody an opportunity. So Indiana has the same opportunity financially as does Michigan, as does Penn State. And it makes a big difference. And when they negotiate a television deal, it can average out all together with all the deals put together, CBS, Fox, ESPN. you know, the Big Ten Network, when you put it all together in the pool and everybody can get $24.5 million apiece, each athletic director now can confidently put together their budget as to what they want to do with coaches' salaries, facilities, and so forth, because they have that number built into their budget every single year. And, you know, people, you know, Penn State's not getting this cut for three more years, but everybody also gets an equal share of all the bowl money, which usually comes out to about $3 to $3.5 million a year, depending on if there's a second BCS team. Again, same story. No bonus money for going to a bigger bowl or anything like that. Everybody gets the same cut. So even if you don't make it to a bowl game, you're still getting bowl money. And that allows everybody to have a shot at being good. And you have to pay for Title IX. You have to pay for it. I mean, that's the harsh reality. That for some reason, there have been those who have been advocates of Title IX over the year can't seem to overcome the harsh reality that cash means something to making something work. And, you know, equal opportunity for women in sports is absolutely critical. The only thing is you need to pay for it. Fortunately, this helps you pay for it. The Big East has always scrambled financially. It has been a scramble financially. And because it's been a scramble financially, and it shouldn't be, because look, you know, you have to think of the genesis of the Big East. They were in Boston, Hartford, New York, Philadelphia, had Syracuse. I mean, you know, D.C., they're in the biggest markets in the country. Market number one, I think Long Island, Suffolk County is market six. Philadelphia is market four. Boston is market seven. Pittsburgh is market 14. Washington is market, I think, eight or nine, whatever it is. I mean, they should have had the biggest television contract of anybody just based on market size and share. Yet, who has the biggest contract? Well, it is a conference that has Minneapolis, Chicago, Milwaukee, Madison, Detroit, Cleveland, Columbus. Columbus is actually a bigger market than Cleveland is. Pittsburgh, Philadelphia. So they've taken. See, the Big Ten has taken advantage of their markets, and the Big East never was able to take advantage of their markets because they are such. It's such a jumbled mess. And then there's the Notre Dame equation. Right? And Notre Dame fans don't like me talking about the harsh reality of what Notre Dame does and doesn't do. And Notre Dame has done exactly what Notre Dame needs to do for Notre Dame. Okay? That said, okay, Jack Swarbrick, their athletic director, has done exactly what Notre Dame needs to do to make Notre Dame successful. So that let's get that part of the equation out of the way. But when a conference bends over backwards to accommodate their needs and not make full membership a part of the mix, that's where you go off the cliff. I mean, you know, if you're sitting there as another school, you're saying, well, okay, what if we want to pull our football out and we want to go independent? Are you going to keep us in the conference? Or what if we want to pull, if I'm North Carolina, I want to pull my basketball out? All right, I mean, they don't have to play football. So do we have to play basketball? Can we be independent and play anybody we want? Oh, really? Only they can? And the Big East did this. I mean, the Big East allowed Notre Dame in for all their other sports, especially and including men's basketball. Okay? Their soccer programs were in, men's, women's basketball, but no football. And no requirement, by the way, to play Big East football. And then here's the next part. They gave away a bowl bid. How many years did you see Notre Dame playing in the Gator Bowl, which was the number two Big East bowl at the time in terms of their pecking order? There are times there were teams that, like West Virginia one year, the Gator Bowl should have been the bowl they went to. We gave it to Notre Dame. So in other words, you don't have to play football, but we'll give you a bowl bid? Really?
That's a sweet deal.
I mean, for Notre Dame, it's great. But in terms of what it does to tear down the fabric of what a conference is, and the ACC's made the same mistake. The ACC has rolled the dice, in my opinion, that by getting Notre Dame to play five games a year against ACC opponents and then give them everything else in terms of basketball, men's and women's basketball, soccer, football, baseball, whatever, okay, by rolling the dice, I mean, they're rolling the dice, in my opinion, that Notre Dame will go through this and go, you know what, we should be full ACC members. It's a gamble, especially with a school that was offered Big Ten membership and their board of trustees voted it down in 1999. I mean, Notre Dame would be making more money now, actually, if they've been a part of the Big Ten. The Big Ten's television deals are bigger right now. The cut's bigger.
Steve, I've got Tony on the line from Shamokin for you, if you have a second here.
I have no time. Tell Tony goodbye.
All right. Sorry, Tony.
Hi, Tony. How are you?
Tony, sorry, Tony. You tough luck. Yeah.
Oh, hey, whatever. You said Penn State share. They do not get their share for the next 3 years of the Big Ten revenue. Who gets that? Does that get split amongst the other teams, or does the office get
that? No. No. No, you're talking about the $13 million in bowl money, $12 million in bowl money?
Yeah.
$12 million in bowl money is going to be distributed to child abuse centers across the Big Ten footprint. So the Big Ten is taking Penn State's share, which is about $3 million every year of the bowl money, and it's going to be distributed to prevention of child abuse centers across the Big Ten footprint.
Is that a Big Ten decision, or is that NCAA?
That was a Big Ten decision. That was a Big Ten decision. The Big Ten, what they did was they censured Penn State, which you and I both know means absolutely nothing. It's just saying, okay, naughty, and then moving on. The bowl money, which would be about $3 to $3.5 million a year if there is a second BCS team, which this year, by the way, there was not. That money is being distributed, I think, equally among the states that are in the Big Ten footprint.
Does Penn State still get the TV revenue?
Yes, absolutely. They are absolutely. That was not touched at all. That's a big, big factor in what has allowed Penn State to be stable and set. That is not tough. They just did the bowl money, and the reason being is they said, look, since you can't be a part of the bowl mix, this is how we'll find you, and that's how they took care of it.
Okay. And just one more thing, Notre Dame. If the conferences go to another game, that's going to be awful difficult for Notre Dame to maintain a schedule, a quality schedule. And they are going to have to join a conference sooner or later.
Well, they'll have five ACC games. Because people allow them to have special treatment. Yes, I mean, that's my point. You look at them and say, look, you want to be in? You're either all in or you're all out.
Yeah.
Simple as that. You're all in or all out. But yet the Big East bent over backwards because it was so important to have the Notre Dame brand in there. The ACC has now made the same mistake. Now, scheduling-wise for Notre Dame, they should be in pretty good shape. Five ACC games. They have the series with USC, that's six. They still have the series with Pitt, that's seven. I mean, with Stanford, that's seven. Navy makes eight. That means they have four games that they have to schedule, which in most conferences is typical. It's like getting four non-conference games.
Okay. Well, thanks for your
time.
Yeah,
so they're fine. Tony, always a pleasure. Let's take a break. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or online at rewfinancial.com. Back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Glad that Tony asked the questions he did. I think his questions, cleared up a lot of what we're talking about. So I'm glad he did. And it's important that you get quality questions like that. We try to point this out on the show as often as possible. There are no such thing as bad questions, all right? If you don't know, then ask. If you're not sure or maybe misinterpret something, ask. There's no such thing as a bad question in this thing. Well, Kevin, you kind of bucked that trend a bit, but that's okay.
No, that's bad information, not bad question. Bad information.
Bad information. Although Dave Baker says they want to quote me on that. The next time I hear a question I think is dumb, I go, oh, I thought I heard you say.
Actually, I do have it. I do have the podcast available to him if he'd like that on audio.
If he wants it on audio?
Yeah, I do have that recorded on the podcast, so he's welcome to it. I know I'll be using it quite a bit.
Yes. The rant of the day coming up from Kay Herr in about 45 minutes.
It'll be a NASCAR rant.
Preview of today. Ugh. The show dragged down again.
Actually, this is one you may actually like, too.
You keep going in this vein. I'm going to pull a Rand Paul on you.
Are you going to filibuster?
Filibuster right to the top of the hour.
Just make sure you have a candy bar standing by, and the filibuster ends when you have to go 10-100.
That's right. Exactly right. So, coming up tomorrow, we're going to get Kenny Scherto on the show. And we're also going to get Steve Blass, the analyst for the Pirates, on. And we're going to talk not just about the Pirates. We're going to talk about approach and spring training in general. You know, as a guy that's been around baseball for Major League Baseball for 54 years of his life, and gone to camps for 54 years of his life, we'll be able to talk about camp in general and what spring training means. And everybody has different approaches. And I'll give you an example. The Pirates yesterday, I think they played the Red Sox. I believe Andrew McCutchen had like his ninth at-bat of the spring. Conversely, when the Pirates played the Phillies earlier in the week, Ryan Howard had his 24th at-bat of the spring. And Ryan Howard, they're going to give him a lot of at-bats. They're going to work him. And then the idea is the final week of spring training, the Phillies are going to taper that back so that he's fresh for the start of the regular season. They feel he needs work now, needs to get his timing now, then they're going to taper the last week instead of tapering early like some teams do. Interesting approach. News at the top of the hour.